Sometimes when we hear a familiar text like 1 Corinthians 13, we tune it out and think, I know this. So I started putting the beginning of this into words that you might understand. If I speak in the words of a seminary degree or even an EMU education, but don't act out those words consistently with love, then I'm just as loud and annoying as a train going through town at rush hour when you have a pressing appointment. If I can see into the future with wisdom and have scientific, psychological, theoretical, and creative knowledge and the power to make Afton Mountain flat and unfoggy, but don't love, then really, I am nothing. I shouldn't assume that you all are with me in this paraphrase, which has a lot of insider information, or that we are all of like mind on this, because the church gathered at Corinth surely was not of one mind. This passage was written to a church that needed to hear this message of love in the midst of conflict. Instead of a church being uniform and united, it would have been more like having a church that had Russian Orthodox, Jewish, and Cradle Mennonite folks all worshiping together. Folks who are on the county board of supervisors and those who are experiencing homelessness sitting next to each other. Or transgender folks and those who are in long-term cisgender straight marriages eating together. The Working Preacher commentator Sylvie Smith says, Paul presents this passage as a way to introduce into the community an ethic that is necessary if they are to survive the muddy waters of difference and disagreement produced in interpersonal relationships. The Corinthian church was not a homogeneous body. Its members were not all of the same kind or ilk. This was not a comfortable gathering where people fell into step with each other because they shared fundamentally similar lives, values, and experiences. Quite the contrary. Unfortunately, the diversity among the Corinthians dissolved into discord and rivalry. Members divided into contentious groups. This was a community fragmented rather than enriched by diversity. It is into this setting that Paul writes about love. First, in 1 Corinthians 12, we hear about many gifts in the body. And then here in chapter 13, we hear a call to love. How many of us have been at weddings where this passage was read? I just did one of those weddings 2 weeks ago and preached on this passage. But the love that is reflected and written about here is not just a fluffy romantic wedding love, but going to the very heart of who God is. God is love. Melanie Howard writes, that is, rather than a Hallmark style ode to sentimentalized ideas of love, this chapter offers what should be a foundational ethic for the church community. That is, the love that Paul is describing takes action, It is not a passive feeling towards another. As we go into a season of change and much shifting here at Parkview, can an active love be our anchor? As we go into a time of prolonged political upheaval, can this love surprise us in ways that it invites us to look at the other? This love is not just celebrating who we are, but what and who we are called to be. Not just content with who is here, but longing for that to expand and include in radical ways. Love does not call us to align with only those who are like us, familiar, and easy for us to get along with. Paul remains firm that this diversity is non-negotiable. God has called this community to be diverse and to get along within it. Paul's poetic ode to love was not written to celebrate the unifying love already accomplished in the community. It was a call to action. It is not a tribute to what is. It is an intervention to instruct on what had not yet come to pass. Indeed, Paul did not intend the language of 1 Corinthians to be easily digested. The point was not to make its readers feel comfortable and affirmed in love. The point was to create cognitive dissonance. Although aesthetically beautiful, the ode is meant to motivate a new action plan among the members that secures the community's survival into the future. And now, faith, hope, and love remain. These three, and the greatest of these is love. This raises big questions. What is it to have faith in a world that seems to push back on faith? What is it to hope when our climate is warming, wars are raging, and people starve? Hope when people are demeaned and dehumanized because of their gender, skin tone, cultural background, and ability or disability? What is it to love when siblings in faith judge each other by how we love in our most intimate of relationships? How do we love and yet still judge what is right and wrong? Are we only going to follow fearful people, or are we brave enough to step forward and lead with love? In terms of what love is not, Paul says it is not self-seeking, short-tempered, and offensive. In other words, love does not hurt people. It does not damage prospects of authentic community. Love does not impede affirmations of another's humanity. Love is the only means by which believers have a chance to live fully into the knowledge and the fellowship of God. Let love be our guide. Let it be our judge and rule above all else. As we go through pastoral transition and may want to panic or deny our grief over so much change. Let us choose faith in a God who knows us deeply and will not abandon us. As we go through a year where the political factions get louder and uglier, may we choose to love the other and never lessen their belovedness as a child of God. May our actions and words take us towards authentic community, where we are each known and valued. Even when the conflict of the world and in the church feels overwhelming, may we be people who hope, knowing that what is good and of God is embedded in each person, even when they are totally different to us. But just as a child is only a glimpse of what they will be like as an adult, and just as looking at our reflection in the back of a spoon would not be very clear and it would warp our perception, so too our view of God's love now, only a glimpse of what God has in store for us. But God's love is shown most fully in this table. We come to the table and are met in all of our humanity, just as every other person is met in theirs. We are shown God's love through Jesus, love and action that was surprising and unifying and bigger than any of our words could ever portray. We come in faith with the hope that God does show up in our world and transform. And we are met with love. God has loved us. God does love us. And God's love will go on forever. May this active love be stirring in our midst as we continue to learn to love each other.